Well, good morning, everyone. You made it. Good job. The time change. So I'm not sure about you, but last night we were out, and I was offered a coffee. And I typically don't do well if I have caffeine after 4 o'clock. So I had my coffee. We went home. Went to bed at a reasonable time. Of course, change the clocks before you go to bed, right? Who does that? I do. I hope you don't get up like at 2 in the morning to do it. That's just crazy to me. So I'm in bed, having a good sleep. I look at the clock, and it's 3 a.m. And you know when it's 3 a.m. and you see the clock, and you're like, uh-oh, am I up now for the rest of the night? Is this it? And then you play that game. Do you guys ever do this? Where you look at the clock, and you think, okay, if I focus now really hard, if I fall asleep quickly, I can get a good 3 more hours of sleep. So you close your eyes, and you're feeling good about it, and you're thinking, oh, I'm doing well. Then you look at the clock, 6 minutes has gone by. Thinking, oh, mercy, this is going to be a long night. So long story short, I've been up since 3 a.m., fighting it, trying to go back to sleep. I managed to get maybe another 45 minutes in. So the time change wrecked me today. But I blame it on the coffee. So perhaps you feel that way this morning as well. I hope not. So again, welcome here. We are grateful that you joined us here in person and online as well. And so we've been going through just a parent-family sermon series, and this is our second week into it, and I encourage you, if you weren't here last week, to be able to go back to the sermon online and listen to it. And I'm going to allude a little bit more into that, what happened last week after the service, and just some of the, I think, the things the Holy Spirit were doing in people's lives. So it's good. It's very good. And again, a qualifier, if you're not a parent today, if you're single, or if you're married, don't have kids yet, or whatever the case may be, this message is still for you. This is for all of us. It's a learning about the value of Scripture and the principles of Scripture that we can all learn from and lean into. So just keep that in mind. So as we know, in this day and age, there are many resources for parenting, aren't there? There's so many things available online. And I know, looking back in the day when my parents were parenting me, and they still are, my mother is, and they didn't have any resources. There wasn't an internet available to go on and search and find out some good tools for us, and there's lots out there for us. Having said that, it doesn't mean that there's a perfect family or even a perfect family style in terms of raising our children. I think we've all experienced different ways to bring up our kids, and we've seen different models as well. And what's interesting about families in general, and I think people as well, is we like to potentially put on appearances that we all have it all together. And that we're doing really well in our marriages, perhaps, and in our families and as parents. But that's not always the case. And what we see on Facebook or other social platforms about pictures, people looking amazing and having the best time of your lives, that isn't always based in reality. So I think we can all agree that we are all broken people. Amen? And we don't have it all together. And if you do have it all together, I would love to chat with you afterwards. And you can perhaps give me some advice as well on how to do that. But there's a lot of things going on in our world that are messy. And life is messy. Marriages have gone flat. Families are shattered. And perhaps for us as parents and for our kids, no matter where they are on the age spectrum, that we can be overwhelmed. And we can be challenged. And we can be discouraged as well. And so we're hoping as we go through this together that we are encouraged and hopefully providing some resources and some support to recognize that we're not alone in this. Now, as we think about families, Scripture doesn't ask us to have the perfect family. We don't see that. As a matter of fact, you can see in Scripture there wasn't many perfect families. Adam and Eve didn't do so well, did they? Because of their choices and what happened, they sin entered the world. Noah had a drinking problem. Abraham offered his wife to another man. Rebecca, she schemed her son to deceive her husband, Isaac. Jacob and his son sold their brother into slavery. And again, I mentioned this last week, David, he had an affair and he had a rebellious heart. And yet he came with a heart of repentance as well. So as we know, there's a lot of influence in our lives. And we as parents, we have an opportunity. We are commissioned by God to stand in the gap for our kids. Again, no matter where they are on the age spectrum, let's keep that in mind. And we've been allotted a certain amount of time with our kids in our home, and hopefully when they reach a certain age, they're perhaps on their way out, and you know, having a career, getting married, et cetera, et cetera. And it's an honor to do what we're able to do with our kids. And it's a heavy thing. It's not an easy thing. And I think sometimes as parents, we have this take no prisoners mentality that we're going to do whatever it takes. And yet when we think about our parenting too, that as I mentioned before, we don't all have it together. And that's okay. And that's okay. And part of this process also is for us to recognize that we don't have all the answers. And we don't need to feel condemned about that either. And I'm hoping today as you consider that, that we can look under the hoods of our family to give ourselves a bit of a check to see how we're doing as parents and for kids as well. And I want to say this too. If you grew up in a Christian home where you had and have parents that brought you up in the faith, you have uncles and aunts and grandparents that have brought you into faith, and they're men and women of integrity and character, and they're still doing that today, do not take that for granted. I think it's a huge blessing, and I think many in the church who have grown up with that sort of background have taken it for granted. I didn't grow up in the church. My wife didn't grow up in the church. My kids are first-generation Christ followers, and many in this room, and including those watching online, have had a history of a spiritual heritage, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And having said that, perhaps you saw things as a young person that your parents did as Christ followers that weren't honoring, that broke the heart of God, that maybe caused some confusion for you as well, and perhaps has followed you to this day. And so we'll dive more into that in a moment. So our scripture today is Deuteronomy 6, verses 49. Now, if you're at the YKCS AGM this past Thursday, it was interesting when their devotion was being shared, and some of the things that were being talked about was exactly what I'm talking about this morning. So I thought that was interesting that God has something for us to be hearing as well. So if you have your Bibles with you or your device, you can follow along with me in Deuteronomy 6, verses 49, and the verses will be on the screen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now the people of Israel had wandered the wilderness for 40 years, and now are standing at the edge of the promised land. And God has now instructed Moses, and that's what's going on here, to give the law to his people. And so the entire nation is gathered. I want you to picture this now. Moses is on top of a mountain somewhere, and all these people have gathered, young and old. And they're sitting there, and they're waiting to hear what Moses has to say. And Moses is very clear in what he has to say. He's giving a singular charge to this mass group of people. And it's a declaration. It's something that he is saying for every single person, for people that are children of God. And he's saying this to say, you must pay attention to what I'm saying here. This is a truth that we all need to know. And he's addressing a new generation of people that need to hear exactly what God has prepared for them to hear. And it's interesting because as he's preparing this and sharing this, he's talking also about this idea of let's not fail God. And I'm going to speak into that a little bit more too about how a generation went after God's promise was there. A generation went and forgot what God had done. And it's a warning for us as well. And as we think about this, and the first thing we see in the scripture here is hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now this prayer, this beginning part is called the Shema prayer. And it's in Deuteronomy here. And it talks about the importance for us to be also developing our children. But the Shema prayer in Hebrew, it's a word that's how prayers are started in Judaism. And that's how they'd start the prayer. It's hear, O Israel. And again, it's here in Deuteronomy as we see. And this word Shema is a prayer which includes, again, a daily tradition that Jewish people would use in their prayer. And they would use this mantra, the Shema prayer, and it would be part of a three-part prayer that they would do on a daily and a regular basis. And this is a part of what they would do, and Scripture talks about this. This tradition is tied into also the Ten Commandments. And so this prayer was very influential. And we can see that it's there. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And it starts there. And Jesus used this as well in Mark chapter 12. When the question came up again, there was talking about the important commandments. And Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And so we see there's an important thing for us to consider. And Moses getting the people's attention. And I think for us, as parents and as Christ followers, we need to have our attention gazed on God and what he's calling us to do. And when you hear the scripture here, when it talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, that can be a bit of an impossible task when you think about it like that. When you think about this, what an impossible task this must be for parents and all people alike that are Christ followers. It's a hard thing to consider, but for us today, we're going to unpack this a little bit. What does that mean for us as parents and Christ followers? And how do we do that in our lives today? And the first thing we see there is love. Now, the fourth gospel, Jesus pushes Peter at the end of John 21, asking him three times. What does Jesus ask Peter? Three times in the scripture. He asks him, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Now, God being who he is, supreme power, knowing everything, has wisdom, is providential, created everything, and everything is in his control. And we think about that, and the word Elohim in Old Testament Hebrew talks about him. And Theos in the New Testament Greek talks about him as well. And this greatest commandment doesn't just apply to just any deity. Let's be clear about that. This is for us as Christ followers, for us to understand that we have this commandment. And I love what it says here. Love the Lord your God. This great commandment is your God. He is your God. He is our God. And we are to love him with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And there's a proclamation there for us as Christ followers. And when Jesus is speaking to the Jews and referring to the word the Lord God of the Israelites, to know that God is faithful. And as we think about love, and we think about that word, and it's that word that I think we overuse in many situations, and I often think it's lost a bit of its meaning. But when you look at the biblical meaning of love, and there's a couple of words I want us to consider this morning, and there's two Greek words that are commonly translated as love. And the first one is philo, which essentially means it's a brotherly love, an affection or friendship. It's based on a feeling. It's a relationship. It's almost similar to liking someone. And so that's where that word would come from. And the second word translated love would be called agape. And this is tied into the greatest commandment. And we need to understand this, that similar to philo, but agape is a much stronger love. It's a much deeper love. It's a sacrificial love. And it's based more on a choice rather than just a feeling. It's based upon somebody making a decision. And agape is used often in Scripture to describe God's unconditional love for us. And when you think about Scripture, God so loved the people of the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That's agape love. Yet when we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, agape love. Love is patient, love is kind, agape love. Love is not envious or boastful or proud. Agape love. Love does not act rudely. It is not selfish or easily angered. And does not keep any records of wrong. Agape love. Agape love takes no pleasure in evil or injustice, but what? Rejoices in the truth. Agape love bears and endures and hopes in all things. And the beautiful thing about agape love, it never ends. So for us to understand that this agape love that Christ has for us, it's unconditional. And for us as Christ followers, especially as parents, we need to try our best through the power of the Holy Spirit to have agape love for our children, no matter where they are in this life, that we show that agape love to the people that we call our kids. How well do we do that? How well do we show unconditional love? Now, recognize this, and I know this for sure, that because we are in the flesh and we should be living in the spirit, because of our sinful nature, we are going to make choices that aren't always buried in agape love, because we are selfish human beings. And at the end of the day, when we think about agape love, the question we have to ask ourselves as well is, do we love God or do we merely like him? Think about that question for a second. Do you love God or do you merely like him? It's a profound question for us to be asking. And what does that look like for each one of us? So as you consider that, and we think about love, the next thing I want us to consider too is our heart. You know, it talks about to love God with all of our heart. And in order to do that, we need to make decisions and choices that glorify God in everything we say and everything we do. Big task, amen? We're not perfect in that. There's going to be days where we struggle and stumble. But at the end of the day, what is our heart saying? What is our heart purposing after? Do we desire to glorify our Heavenly Father in everything we say and we do? If you're a Christ follower here today and watching online, is that our desire? That we continue to love God with our heart, we give God praise, we give him love, we have gratitude as he is our creator, that we've been redeemed and he's provided for us. How well do we do that? Where is our heart this morning? Because where our heart is with God, it will overflow in our life with other people around us, including our children, including our kids. See, loving God with all our heart means so many different things. It means obeying God and trusting him in his faithfulness, regardless of our circumstances. Even in times of trial and adversity and sorrow, we need to continue to have a heart that loves God. How well do we do that as parents? How well do we do that as Christ followers? Loving God with all of our heart requires something. It requires faith, an unwavering faith that we lean into him. We are committed to Jesus. We are committed to him no matter what it costs us. So where are you at this morning? Do you love God or do you merely like him? Where is your heart this morning? The next thing we consider here is our soul. Now it ties into the heart as well. And when we think about loving God with all of our soul, we need to start with this. We need to come with a repentant heart and confess the Lord Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And it starts there. Our soul then is saved and we are connected to God. We have a relationship with Jesus. We are redeemed. We are washed and regenerated by the renewing of our mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to start there because our souls matter. Our souls will end up somewhere when we die. And our hope and prayer is that we end up in glory with the Lord Jesus. Where is your soul this morning? Do you understand what it means to worship Jesus in spirit and truth? Do you understand what it means to follow him as your Lord and Savior? Have you made that decision? Is that something that is a part of your life? And when we truly love God with our heart and our soul and our mind, and we will have a natural outflow of fruit in our life, fruit that will show that we love God and how we live and what we say. And the Bible talks about this in Matthew 12. It says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. We know summer is coming eventually. And we all like to buy fruit possibly. And when you buy a piece of fruit, we know when you buy that piece of fruit, it has a limited life shelf. It's not going to last very long. And it sits on your shelf or sits on your counter, your fruit basket, and you look at that fruit. It looks good at the beginning, and a few days goes by, it starts rotting. And now you've got to throw that fruit away because it's no good anymore. And if you had a choice between a mango that looked amazingly fresh versus a mango that just looked rotten, what would you choose? You would choose the good mango. And I think for us, as we think about the fruit in our lives, what kind of fruit are we bearing? Can people see the fruit in our lives is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his scriptures? Are we living in such a way where our kids can see that we love Christ? We aren't perfect. There's going to be moments where we're going to make some bad decisions. But do we have a heart of repentance? Do we have a heart of understanding that perhaps I have wronged the Lord? Perhaps I've wronged other people and I need to make that right? That, to me, will show each other that we are willing to be teachable and humble and to grow in our relation with Jesus and other people. See, pride and arrogance can get in the way of our fruit. We are prideful people. We are arrogant people. And I think one of the hardest things for us as parents and just as day-to-day Christ followers is to understand that perhaps we're not bearing good fruit. Perhaps we're not being the best witness to our family, to our neighbors, the people we work with. So strength. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Galatians 6:10. So loving God with all your strength, again, means that we do all we can to glorify God in our life. That we are willing to apply our strength, not just in our physical life, but our emotional life and our spiritual life, to serve and to glorify God. That we have this mental capacity that is based upon faith. That when hardship comes, that we will not lose heart. We might be crushed and perplexed, but God is still with us. God is still with us. And when we love God with all our strength and with our mind and our soul, this applies to every single one of us every single day of our lives. And this includes what it means to be a parent. God has to be first in our life. It has to start there. We can't fake that. We can fake it for so long, and eventually, the armor we wear will crack, and people will see. And more importantly, the Lord knows, and the Lord knows. So as we think about obeying God and trying to be a parent and an example of Christ as best as we can, we understand one thing. Do we love Jesus? We can all say yes. But do you love Jesus more than anything else in the world? To the men here today, do you love Jesus more than your wife? Do you love Jesus more than your job? Do you love Jesus more than your hobby? Do you love him more than the hidden lust and secret sins we do? Do you love Jesus? Do you truly love Jesus? Do you love Jesus in such a way that you're living with integrity and character when no one else is watching? In our business practices, in our social interactions with people? Are we doing that as men? To the women here, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus more than your husband? And the same would be for husbands here too. Do you love Jesus more than your children? These are hard questions, I understand that. But we have to get this question figured out. We have to understand this. Is he all our sufficiency that we need? Are we content in our identity in Christ? Or are we looking for contentment in something else? Perhaps our identity is parents. Perhaps our identity is fathers and mothers. And being a father and a mother is such a blessing. Yet we have to get this order right. We need to love God first. It doesn't mean we give up on our family. It doesn't mean we love our kids less. But it does mean that we love Jesus. See, I think sometimes in a church, our families become idols. That's a hard thing to hear, but they can become idols for us. And we put our families above Jesus. That's not the right order. This is for me as well this morning, but I want to encourage you in this. This question is so important for us because we can go to church every Sunday. We can be part of a care group. We can volunteer. We can serve. We can have all these routines down. And we can tell our kids and to love God and obey him and all those things. But if God is secondary in our own hearts, our kids will pick up on that and they will see that. And they will be confused because often we talk out of both ends of our mouth as parents. We'll say one thing and do the opposite in terms of our integrity and our character. Again, there's grace in this. Please understand that. There's forgiveness. There's all those things. But we have to ask ourselves these questions. See, there's been a lot of conversation in the church for many, many years about when kids hit a certain age, especially when they turn 18, where do they end up? And statistics have shown year after year, a majority of kids that grew up in the church, went to church, had Christian parents, when they turn 18, the percentages are very high that they fall through the gap and they no longer follow Jesus. And that has a lot to do with the role models they saw in their own life and the examples of Christ that they were not seeing. And there's battles in these homes where there is hypocrisy in the home, where there was so much going on that was being said publicly, but privately it was just not lining up. And I've talked to many young adults, many parents over the years, who left the church because of that. Now, we can't blame other people for the choices we make. And if folks are walking away from the church because of their parents, that's a part of the equation. However, at the end of the day, they are making the sacrifice themselves, and they are deciding to walk away. But parents, don't be fooled. We play a major part in that. We absolutely do. See, the church has its flaws. I've been in ministry for a long time. The church has its flaws. We all have our flaws. But the beautiful picture of all of this is that we can do something about this. We can start today. We can make our integrity right. We can make our character right. We can tell our kids to follow God till we are blue in the face. But they are watching everything we do, everything we say. So where are we at this morning? And we think about our mind. Again, we must be single-minded in our faith and our devotion to God and His Word and the Scriptures. And that we do not get influenced by every doctrine that is out there, the false teaching, the things of this world that cause us to chase after philosophies that completely oppose Scripture. How well are we doing that? How well do we flood our minds with the things of the kingdom? What are the things we're watching? What are the things we're reading? What are the things we're doing that perhaps are flooding our minds in a negative way? And again, there's grace in this. We're not looking for perfection, but we're looking for honesty. We're looking for honesty. Verse 6 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." See, it's a beautiful picture for us as parents to model discipleship. That we don't sit at church on a Sunday, but we have these conversations in the blank spaces of our life, in the day-to-day activity in our life. We were naturally bringing up conversations about what it means to follow the commandments of God, to have them impressed in our heart, and to have these conversations with our kids. Young or old, it doesn't matter. How well are we doing discipleship for our kids? How well are we modeling that? And as kids are getting older in your life, and perhaps you have older kids, we have opportunities to talk about the real things of their life, not just about our homework, not just about how school went, but to talk about things of character, to talk about things about friendship, to talk about things that regarding sex and sexual immorality and all the things that are going on in this world, the desires young people have. We can't shy away from those conversations. We as parents need to lead the charge on that. We don't rely on the schools, and the schools are doing their best in a Christian setting. But we as parents need to be frontliners. We can talk about sports and we can talk about all those things are good. I am not saying they're bad, but if we are not intentional, if we are not looking for opportunities to have these conversations about the Scriptures and who God is, and others are going to influence them. And they will be shared with words that are not of truth. And that is on us. Verse 8 says, "Tie them as symbols in your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your house, on your gates." Now the Jews literally did this. They would take the Shema, place it in a small wooden box, and they would tie that box either to the wrist or to the forehead. And the Jews were commanded to write down divine words on their doorpost to adopt this custom. And eventually what happened, they would take the writing and put them in parchment papers and carry them around. And again, they would put them on their hands. And they literally would do this, the Shema. They would take this. "Hear, O God, O Israel." And I think we, as Christ followers, we might hear that and go, that's kind of silly. I don't get it. Well, there's some dedication there. But how well do we take the scriptures that we know? Do we place them in our homes? Do we tie the tablets of the word on our heart? Do we know the Bible? We don't have that Bible memorized from beginning to the end, but we need to know the scriptures. Because one day, possibly, one day the Bible that we have might just be taken away from us completely. And that's why we need to memorize the word. That's why we need to know the word and impress it on our hearts. This is what discipleship is about. It starts there. How well are we doing this? And again, if you're not a parent today, these are tools, hopefully, that will prepare you down the road as you think about this. One of the tools we've offered here, it's not our app, it's called the Orange app. And we offered it up to our families, and you can download it, and you can be part of Edson Baptist Church, and there's great lessons in there, weekly lessons, daily lessons, videos, questions about faith. And it's all there for you as a parent to use. And it's simple, but it's profound. And when we first started to promote this app here, I'll be honest with you, I was very disappointed in the lack of people signing up. But now we've got more families on board. And our job as a church is to provide you with resources. But at the end of the day, parents are the main disciplers of their kids. We need to take that. And take those marching orders to heart. I know we do not live in the perfect world. We live in a broken world, but we have to consider our role as parents. We have to consider this value of discipleship, and what does that mean for us? How well are we doing that? And not just for our kids, but the people around us as well. You know, I said before that the parents are the main disciplers. For sure they are. And if there's other kids around our community that need as much help as others. Or what about the kids who don't have both parents in their picture? What about the single mom who has a child and there's no support? What about a grieving father whose wife just died? What about those kids? How are they being discipled? How are they being encouraged? This is heavy, I know. But it's good for our soul. See, all of us, single, married, dating or not, as you have children down the road, we all need to participate in the raising of the next generation, including our kids, obviously. And if you have older kids, you can still circle back to this. These are not easy issues. This takes compassion. It takes mercy. But it also requires us to do what? Step out of our comfort zone. We have to step out of our comfort zone to disciple our children. We have to do that. Now, when you think about what's going on here in these scriptures and as Moses is giving this charge to the people, and I wonder how often ancient Israel struggled with all these things as well. Because I mentioned before, because just one generation after Moses gave these instructions, the Bible says what? That the next generation didn't even know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. Judges 2:10 says this, after the whole generation has been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he has done for Israel. May God be merciful to us that we do not make the same mistake. Think about that, a generation, and all of a sudden people have forgotten what the Lord has done for Israel. We cannot forget what God has done for us. And we need to pass that on to our kids. It's going to cost us our time, our money, our energy. But perhaps, as I mentioned earlier, if you grew up in a Christian home and you had parents that modeled this for you, your parents probably weren't perfect, like none of us are, but they modeled this idea of not just teaching you the basics of life, whether it's hunting or cooking or playing sports or developing a trade, all those things are good. But how well did your parents and us as parents today spend time discipling our children? See, whether we like it or not, we have a choice in this, and we have to make a choice that will honor Jesus and prepare our kids for a lifetime of following the Lord. Maybe you've come here this morning and you yourself are not in a great place with Jesus. And this has impacted how you connect with your kids and how well you share with your kids about what it means to follow the Lord. Perhaps you need to start there. I would encourage you to start there. And maybe that's you this morning. Last week I asked you a couple of questions. And one of the challenges was to go ask your kids how you've done as a parent. Kind of scary, right? And I got some feedback from some people. Got some emails, got some texts, got some phone calls. And there's some of you, and perhaps you've done this, you haven't told me, and that's okay. And they told me they had that question. And they asked those questions to their kids. And some of the feedback was, one in particular person said, it's the best conversation they've had with their daughter. Think about that. Because they went out, walked on a limb, and asked that question that took courage. Others said that they had a conversation with one of their kids that they never thought they'd have such a deep conversation about these things that are so important. And she was overwhelmed with joy, this mother, because of the conversation she had with her son. Others spoke about how hard it was to even come up with the nerve to ask that question. And yet they were shown grace by their children. Have you asked that question? If you haven't asked your kids, have you asked yourself that question? How well have we been doing as Christ followers and parents? This isn't a one-off. This is a conversation I believe you circle back and you come back to. And when you think about these scriptures we talked about today and the importance of discipleship, the importance of impressing the things of scripture on our heart, and that we need to love the Lord our God with every part of who we are as parents, it starts there. Because if we don't do those things, how are we going to love these kids on our own strength? Because we're not going to be able to do it. It's difficult. You know, I've mentioned this before. I've only been a parent for, my daughter will be 14 soon. It's scary because she can start driving. Mercy. I might retire after that. And here's what I fully know. I am sometimes a bad parent. I have been a bad parent at times. And here's the beautiful thing about that. God has shown me such grace and such mercy to love my kids. See, when I try to love my kids, or you for that matter, on my own, in my own flesh, I have no desire to be with anyone, speaking truthfully. However, when I allow Jesus to lead my life and I allow him to work in and through me through the power of the Holy Spirit, just like you all try to do, I am much kinder. I'm much more patient. I'm much more loving. I'm probably a lot more fun to be around because Jesus is my center. We need to start there, friends. We have to start there. There's no way around it. See, when we really love God, we are going to put the things aside that aren't important. We're going to put our love for money away. We're going to put our love for titles and advancement in this world away. And those things aren't bad. But the pursuit of those things, in lieu of being godly parents, we need to understand that. That we need to submit to God and what he wants for us. And we love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And everything we do, there's a freedom that comes with that. And our kids will see that in us. And they will see the opportunity we have to be authentic and humble in our journey. See, I don't think our kids are looking for perfect parents. Because none of us are. But I think our kids, no matter where they are looking for honesty, humility, authenticity, and consistency when it comes to how we love Jesus. I hope as you heard this morning, many thoughts are probably going through your head. I know as I've been preparing for this and looking through these lessons out of the lens of my own heart, not wanting to be the guy that speaks out of both ends of his mouth. I try not to live like that. These are hard things. Would you agree? But when you look at the scriptures, I don't see anything easy. That's why it takes such courage to be a parent today that wants to stand out and stand up for Jesus and not the things of this world. It's easy to let our kids spend time on our tablets, watching TV, getting involved in all these things, because that's the easy way out, versus us stepping in and saying, nope, I'm going to lead our family together for the things of the kingdom that matter, because one day we will all be held accountable for how we raise our kids and how we lived our lives. And when I think of that day standing in front of the Lord and the judgment that's going to come, I sometimes am fearful. But in the fear of that, God's grace is so good. And you need to know that today as a parent. God's grace has covered you. There is no guilt and shame or condemnation in any of this. These are reminders for us, as scriptures tell us, as we talked about last week, to train up our children. Let me wrap up with this final thing. I mentioned this last week, and I spent a lot of time on this. And we'll dive a little bit more into this next week. I talked about integrity and character and how we model that in our lives. How well are we doing that, folks? How well are we modeling integrity and character in our lives to the people around us? When people see you, obviously they don't see perfection. But when they see you, do they see you as a man or a woman that is chasing after God? Or do they see someone who is talking out of both ends of their mouth and is chasing after certain things and not the character of God, not the integrity of God? We have to check our hearts. This matters. This matters so much to Jesus. And I implore you, if you're a man or a woman here today as a parent, or as a single person, or married without kids, this includes me as well, check your heart. Check your heart. Because we need to make sure, and this is a saying I often use in my life, that there is no loose ends in the kingdom. If there's stuff you need to make right with someone in your family, maybe someone at this church, maybe somebody that you've hurt with your words in the past, maybe you hurt somebody this past week with your words, you have to make that right. You have to make that right. I cannot say that more often than I can, because our kids are watching. Our friends are watching. And more importantly, the most important thing in this, Jesus is watching. And if we love Jesus without our heart, without our soul, without our strength, without our mind, we will consider that and we'll do whatever it takes to make it right. And when we stand in front of the Lord in our imperfection, he will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, I fully recognize that these are not easy things to talk about. And I thank you for the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that comes in you, Lord Jesus. And I pray today that we would be able to fully understand that grace. That, Father, we would be people that want to do what we can to be role models for the kingdom, to live a life that is worthy of the call. And when our kids see us and when others see us, they would see that we are not perfect, but we are stumbling towards heaven every day because of you, Jesus, and your grace and your forgiveness. So I pray today, Lord, if there's something we need to do to make right, we would be different than the world and we would make amends. We would do the biblical thing. We would not wait We would not wait for someone to pick up the phone, but we would take the initiative, because at the end of that, that takes courage and strength, and courage and strength can only come from you. So, Lord, I thank you for each person here today. I thank you for the children. I thank you for each child that is represented, regardless of where they are in the age spectrum. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that these kids would know you the rest of their lives. And not just know you, but they would love you. They would follow you. They would stand up for biblical principles. They would have a biblical worldview, that they would be men and women that are godly, of character, and of humility. Jesus, thank you for your love. I thank you so much for your forgiveness. Continue to lead us and bless us in Jesus' name.